Father, I ask for the ability to communicate it, to get it across effectively in the way that you see fit, Father. We want only what comes from the throne room. We want the teacher, the Holy Spirit, to come and teach us. Father, we want to lay aside every bit of doctrine, every bit of past teachings that might interfere with us receiving truth from the Word. Father, we want to surrender every part of our life and to receive everything that you have. We want your Word that changes our life, that causes change in our life. Father, that's what we want this morning. Father, this is our morning, a morning or part of the week, this particular morning, part of the week, for us to be fed. And Father, we know that we're supposed to continue feeding on your Word every day. But today, Father, today we lay out our lives and surrender our lives before you, that if there is any area that you can get your Word in and make change that will cause us to walk more into what you freely gave us, then Father, so be it. That's what we want today, Father. Thank you for the anointing on the Word. I thank you for the anointing on our ears to hear, to receive and understand what we're hearing. Father, I thank you for your anointing of the Holy Spirit upon this service in the area of bodily ministry. Father, that every need be met, not one need go unmet in this place before this morning is over. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Starting in verse 21, actually verse 20, after the woman perceived that he was a prophet, passing in review from Wednesday night, says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And Jesus told her of the days to come, of the change of the covenant and what was about to happen in people's lives. He said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. In other words, you Samaritans worship on this mountain. There'll come a day that that's no longer, no longer will it be okay for you to worship on the mountain. There'll come a day that no longer will it be kosher to worship in the temple in Jerusalem, because there's a new day coming. That's what he wanted to get across to the Jews. And of course, then Paul, he spent all his life trying to keep them from going back under the law and worshiping God with their sacrifices and so forth. But he said, there's coming the hour has come that you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, but we Jews, we worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, meaning that they will worship the Father out of their born-again spirit. But they'll be worshiping in spirit and truth. They won't be worshiping as a matter of traditions or in a certain way. But once again, it'll be out of that born-again nature. And he says, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. We were created to worship God, to be quite honest. We were created to worship him. And it says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. He says, this is the hour that's come, that you'll neither worship him in Jerusalem nor on the mountain, but now has come that you'll begin to worship him out of your own born-again spirit, and you'll begin to communicate to God on your own. Now, you know, a lot has happened since he said that. You know, the Catholics come in and the priest takes away the Bible, has you to pay for your confession of your sins, junk like that. The enemy just tried one way or the other in every way. Paul continually traveled throughout the land, would find Jews that had become born again, accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and yet they were trying to take themselves and others back in under the old covenant and worship him under the old covenant, instead of continuing on in their walk. And so that was continually happening then. And then later, like I said, then the priest came along, took the Bible away, said, we'll read the Bible to you. You don't need to find out the truth yourself. You don't need to worship him yourself out of your own born-again spirit. You don't need to have personal communication with God. These are all tactics of the devil to take that relationship away from out of your hands and putting it in the hands of men, taking it the direction that the devil wants to go. See, you've got to understand that the first and foremost thing in your life that is the most important, and you know, it's not church attendance, although coming together with the saints in prayer and in worship and in teachings is in the Word of God. But the most important thing in your life is your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that personal walk with Him, worshiping Him yourself on your own, letting the Holy Spirit teach you, letting the Holy Spirit guide you into all truth. That way somebody won't come along, offer you a trip to Guyana and feed you Kool-Aid. See, that's what that's all about, is your personal relationship and communing with Him in spirit and truth, that you might see deception when you come to it. I tell people, hey, I say, if you think that I'm so deceived and the message is so wrong, then you need to get out of here and not come back, because I might just lead you down to Guyana or something, if that's the way you feel. You know, you've got the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the greatest teacher in existence, to find out if I'm preaching truth or not. And if you spend enough time before Him, He'll show it to you. If you want to know it bad enough, He'll show it to you. So I tell them, I say, you know, my goodness, if you think I'm so deceived that you can't follow me, you know, if I were you, I would put on my shoes and get out. That's the way I feel about it. If I got in a church that I realized through the power of the Holy Spirit that the pastor was deceived and that it was not teaching truth out of the Word of God, I'd be the first man to hit the door. There's been a few I walked out on. But mostly not. Occasionally an error here and there will slip in. But I tell you one thing, somebody that is truly seeking God, they'll get back out of error onto truth in just a little bit. They won't stay in error very long. They won't stay down the wrong road. If they're using worship, getting into worship, finding out the will of God, and you can't find the perfect will of God without worshiping Him. And I'm going to show you in the Word. You don't have to just buy that for face value. But you can't find out the truth without worshiping Him. And I tell you right now, if you have a pastor or preacher that is seeking the face of God, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. If you have someone that way, he may get off in error just a little bit somewhere along the line, but he's going to get back in. He or she's going to get back in pretty quick. It's not going to take very long as they're seeking the face of God. See, that's the key. You know, that's why when I know truth, and then along comes a lie, I'm tolerant to some people for a little while, because I know that their heart is right and they're seeking God with all their might, they're going to get back on truth sooner or later. It's just a matter of time. That's the way it works. And so I'll be patient and full of mercy for them, because I know that they're doing the things that they'll find out truth, even though they may stand before me and I know that what they're saying and what's in their life is not exactly lining up with God. I know that sooner or later they'll be back in line with Him, because I see them worshiping God. I see them praying in the Holy Ghost. I see them on their face before God. I know that sooner or later, God's going to get that stuff out of their life and they're going to walk in truth. I know that. It's just a matter of time. Now, used to, I wasn't quite so tolerant. I was like some of you. If he ain't got it right, then cut him off, glory to God. That's the way I used to be. Then God done some things in my life. Said that wasn't His way of doing it. So I began to look at things through the eyes of God. When you look at things through the eyes of God, you know, mercy and grace does kick in, but then also is that area of truth, you know, that you really don't want to stand. I won't stand in the presence of a lie. What I'm talking about here is if I think somebody's off doctrinally a little bit, I watch and see what they're doing, knowing that if they're doing these things, they'll get back into truth on their doctrine, but I won't stand in the presence of a lie. That's a little different thing, you know, because He won't let me do that. But I used to be really hard on people, you know, hey, you don't have it, so you're cut off. Well, I know that some that have left this church, you know, that they don't have the full truth, that the enemy's deceiving them. But I tell you what, I'm believing that they're seeking God with all their might, and that eventually that they'll see truth and God will put them where they're supposed to be. And I want them to be where they're supposed to be. You know, but then again, you can't say you're called as an intercessor and intercede for the body and you end up on the phone tearing the body apart all the time. In fact, he says sweet water and sour water, bitter water, doesn't come out of the same fountain. So I just kind of watch, you know, if people are seeking God with all their might, you know, then I say, you know, just, hey, just a matter of time, he's going to bring them right back in. But you can't find the truth, and you can't find the perfect will of God without worshiping him. And you're going to have to worship him in spirit and truth, you know. And we're, you know, really, I'm not pointing to this body at all. It's throughout the land. You know, most bodies, corporate bodies, don't worship him in spirit and truth. They don't get that far. How can you in a 15-minute worship service? Once a week, twice a week. See, this is going to require a little bit on people's own part, you know. Just kind of like walking with God and knowing the truth about God is going to require more than just a 45-minute sermon on Sunday morning and a 45-minute one on Wednesday night. You're going to have to decide to seek out the truth of God and His Word on your own at some point. Get hungry enough to know it. And then you'll find it, because He won't withhold truth from you. But you know, most church services throughout the land, they never get into worshiping in spirit and truth. For one thing, they don't know how. And second of all, then even if they know how, they don't really take the time to do it, because if they did, it might cut into the offering, and then it might cut into the preacher's message. Well, you know, I'm just like this. I'm getting a lot of ringing up here. It's not bothering me too much, you know, as long as it's not bothering you all. But if I want to do what the Holy Spirit dictates for the service, my goodness, if He wants to worship God, and He may want to for 2 hours in this service, hey, my sermon goes out the window, because He gets to do what He wants to do. I've learned the best thing to do is to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do, because in the long run, you end up being obedient and in the will of God, and that's when the blessings flow the greatest. So if He wants to worship God for 2 hours in a service or three, then we're going to turn Him loose and let Him. You know, that's the way I look at it. My message doesn't have to get preached or taught. You know, and if we have to take up the offering tomorrow instead of today, then we'll come to your house and receive it. But, you know, most church services, let alone individually on a personal level, most church services don't even worship God in spirit and truth. And it takes time. You know, you don't start out that way by any means. You know, we all start out in the flesh realm or the soulish realm, and you start out there. The key is not to end up there, and the key is to continually not to end up there, because the more that you go in and worship Him, till you worship Him in spirit and truth, then the easier and the quicker it's going to come, not only in this service, in this sanctuary, but also out there in your everyday life. And that's the most important part, you understand. Because we're still talking about, just like the first day I walked in here in July, we're still talking about personal relationship, in case you haven't figured it out. I'll remind you again, personal relationship, the most important thing in your life, not church attendance. You mean, Pastor, you haven't changed your mind since you became a pastor? You know, most pastors think church attendance is the most important thing. I say this, if an individual is developing their personal walk with Jesus, their personal walk outside the church, you won't have a bit of problem, and you'll spend a lot less time counseling. That's the way I look at it. So I'll always be pushing personal relationship. I don't care how good your church attendance is. Are you spending time with God outside the church? Are you depending totally on this pastor for your food, your spiritual food? Are you depending totally on this worship leader and this worship team for your worship? Is that the only worship you get through the week? Then you're in sad shape. You've got to come to that place to begin to learn how to worship Him. And of course, we all start out in the soul and the flesh, but the quicker that we can learn to begin to worship Him in spirit and truth, the quicker it'll come. And I told you about that example about Benny Hinn taking those pastors in that back room and telling them, you know, that the more he went in, that it took a long time to begin with for him to get in there in the presence of God. But that the more that he did, the quicker it came each time. at that particular time, that particular session, he had them poor little pastors worshiping God for like two and a half, three hours straight. Some of them, that was the most they'd ever worshiped God in their entire life. But we must worship Him in spirit and truth, and the only way God is a spirit, the only way you're going to commune with Him is spiritually. So you've got to learn to begin to worship Him in spirit and truth, and that may take some time, and it does require pushing past the flesh. It does require, I used to think, killing the emotions, destroying them, but then I learned it wasn't that. You need to go get those emotions. You need to go get what you're thinking and bring it back and say, we're going to worship God, and turn those emotions toward worshiping God. And the best way, one of the best ways that I can tell you is, let's say that you're consumed with bodily pain. And you start out and the pain is totally in control of your life at that moment. Your body is so consumed with physical pain. I don't know what's wrong with it, It could be anything, but you're consumed with pain. You start out worshiping Him in the flesh, in that pain, trying to get past the hurting of that flesh. And your emotions enter in because they're being led, but they're reacting to the pain that's in your body. So you start out worshiping Him, out of the flesh because you're hurting so bad. And then your emotions, they're getting in on the act. But if you continue to let your emotions take over and continue that route and dictate to you how you're worshiping Him or to when to quit and when not to quit, then you'll never get past it. But one of the keys to overcoming disease and infirmity in your body is that you move into that place worshiping Him in spirit and truth, that you're communicating with Him. And sometimes that takes a little bit of confession, even saying that God is actually what he says He is, and what you've known that He was all along, but you just didn't say it too much. Jesus took every infirmity that I have. Oh, I worship You, Jesus. You took every infirmity. You already took it. Your pain, your body is squealing out and screaming out, I heard, I heard, I heard. And sometimes that takes a little pushing through. Sometimes that takes more than 5 minutes standing before God. Sometimes it takes more than 5 minutes. But I tell you this, the more that you do that, that you stand before Him and say, I'm going to make my emotions and my flesh is going to sit here and worship God no matter what. I don't care how bad I'm hurting. I don't care how bad my body's screaming out. I'm going to worship God. I may start out in a whisper, but I'm going to start. I may start out in a screaming pain, God! But I'm going to start one way or the other. And I'm going to make my emotions worship God. I'm not going to let them dictate my life. Because, see, it's the perfect will of God that my body be healed, that I receive a miracle. And you've got to start somewhere, transforming your mind and your thinking, your soul and your body into that position that by His stripes you were healed. So you have to start somewhere, and sometimes it may take a long time, sometimes it may take even help, but the key is eventually is to get to the point that you can raise your hand, begin to worship God, and here comes His presence, and you don't stay in that soul and flesh realm very long, but in a few minutes you enter into that place of worship and communion with Him. And it may take a while to begin with, it may take a while to get there. But the key is to start. It's like I told you about fasting. Maybe you won't make the 40 days the first time or the second time or the third time or the fourth time or the fifth time or the sixth time or the seventh time. I don't know when it was I made the 40 days. But I know this, I made a lot of attempts before I ever made the 40 days. But the key is that you start somewhere. The same with worship. The key is that you start somewhere. Quit letting the emotions dictate when you're going to stop worshiping God. Go get them and say, come back. You're going to worship God with me. Don't you know He's God? And you're going to worship Him with me. Flesh, come back here. Those problems of yesterday, they'll still be there tomorrow. Let's worship God. Glory to God. Sometimes you have to get tough with yourself and go and get them and bring them back and say, we're going to worship God. Well, Bruce ain't here. Who cares? We're going to worship God. When He's here, we're blessed. When He ain't, I'm still going to worship God. Glory to God. You make that decision. Well, Brother Rogers, I'm just going to use my Walkman and my batteries. What if you get out in the middle of a wheat field and the batteries go dead? That's what I told God. I said, God, I want to be in this place regardless where you put me. I don't care if you set me in the middle of a desert. I don't care if you set me in the middle of a rural town nowhere, in the middle of nowhere. I don't care if you set me in a big city that I can't find which way is up and I don't know nobody around. I can worship you out of this predicament. He had a sense of humor. He put me in Ulysses. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Don't throw any rocks. I'm just kidding. But I did, you know. It was almost like, you know, of course, he prepared me for this day. One of the biggest problems that we have, of course, I'm just being honest. I never have really had this particular problem, but one of the big problems in Tulsa is as you get people there, they travel from everywhere. God told me to be here, and I'm sure that he did. And then they stay, and they stay, and they stay, and they stay, and they stay. I never heard one of them initially say, God told me to come to Tulsa permanently and stay here till Jesus comes. They'll say, God told me to come here to get some training or to get transformed, or he told me to come here, I don't know for what reason, but I never heard one say that God told me to come here permanently. But they all end up, it seems like, staying permanently. One of the big problems that we have is getting them out after training them, getting them out to go out into Ulysses or somewhere else. One of the biggest problems. But you got to begin to start somewhere, you know. And so I told God, regardless where I'm at, I want to know you well enough. I want to know you. And this is about knowing him. What we're talking about is not knowing of him, but actually knowing him. That's what we're talking about, is knowing him. And I told him, I said, I want to be in that position that I know you. That I know you well enough that regardless of where you set me down in, that I'll be able to know you well enough that every need will be met and you'll still be able to use me. That's what I wanted. I don't believe that he sent me here to test that. I don't believe that at all. I believe that he has enough faith in me that he set me here that I can accomplish his will in this earth, because of that relationship that I've developed with him and that I can pass it on to a few other folks. That's what I believe. But that's what I ask for, and that's what I tell people. You want to come to that place in the knowledge of him and having that personal relationship with him, that if he sets you out in the middle of a wheat field next to a hog barn, you can lift your hands and despite the smell, you can lift your hands and begin to worship God, and God will come into your midst. What I tell them all the time. That's where you need to focus on. That should be your goal. Well, what about the ministry? The ministry comes with it. The relationship is the most important. You go after the ministry, you don't have a relationship. All you do is preach you and whatever somebody else has told you. Relationship. As a minister, you preach out of that relationship, the abundance out of it, the overflow out of it. And that's what all of us want to hear. We don't want to hear the other junk. We want to hear that abundance, out of that abundance of your relationship that you know God. My goodness, I can tell by the way he teaches and preaches, he knows God. I can tell by the way those people got healed up there. This man knows God. He knows how to, this man or woman knows God. He knows how to touch and tap into God, that God will come and meet people's needs. That gets people's attention. But then as a believer, you want to be able to, regardless of the circumstances and what comes your way, regardless how knot-headed your husband gets or how much your wife complains or whatever the circumstances are, it doesn't matter. You want to be able to go in and you know your God well enough that regardless of the circumstances don't dictate. They don't move your life because you know God. That's you as a believer, us as a believer, that we know him that well, that we know how to tap into him that well, that we know to develop that relationship with him. Well, you can't do that without worshiping him in spirit and in truth. You've got to begin a lifestyle of that, and everything that I ever talked to you about will be a lifestyle. It's not a one-thing deal. I've done it once, I tried it once, that's it. No, it's a lifestyle. It's a way of life. Every part of it, no matter what you look at in the Word of God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. No matter what you look at in the Word of God, it's a lifestyle. It's not just a one. Well, I've done that one time. I heard that one time. I've done that one time. Well, you need to quit hearing and start doing what you've already heard, what you already know. Some of you are sitting out there with a vast amount of knowledge. But you need to begin to apply some things that you might not have applied in the past. Maybe you applied part of it, but not all of it. You need to begin to apply all of it. First of all, I want to start in actually chapter 4, verse 30. I like that. I like this verse because, you know, I don't judge anybody. And neither does God. The Word of God judges you. That's what He says in His Word. The Word of God judges you. And what I like to do, I like to hold this Word up to me till I match up to this Word. Now, Shelley, don't answer that. Some areas I match up to the Word. Some areas I don't. Those areas I don't, I'm working on to do so. But I take the Word of God, do I match up to it? Well, if you got on the phone and you caused havoc in a church or havoc in the body, caused strife, contention, jealousies, whatever it may be, destroyed people's lives in effect is what you're doing, whether you think so or not, would you match up to verse 30 and do not grieve? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Now, if you were causing contention, division, strife, envy, jealousy, and all that, then you would have already grieved the Holy Spirit. Don't tell me if you're doing all that, that you can hear the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is reigning in your life. I don't think so. See? So you've got to take the Word of God and say, does my life line up with this? Am I practicing? Am I being an imitator of God? Well, to be an imitator of God, you're going to have to worship Him in spirit and truth. You're going to have to learn to be a worshiper of God. You don't have any choice. You have to start being a worshiper of God. You know, and we've talked about it, that the fact that, you know, the praise and thanksgiving, all that has a place. Actually, the church has got it backwards. All that has a place. But we're talking here about worship. Worship that'll turn your life around. Worship that'll turn those emotional things toward God and that you can begin to walk out of it. We're talking about here about communing with God. It doesn't say that you commune with God with praise and thanksgiving. No, all you're doing is singing and talking about the good deeds that He's done, and there's a place for that. But when you worship God in spirit and truth, you're talking about communing with Him. And we're talking about personal relationship here. We're talking about getting to know God. And so it says, be imitators of God. Well, let's skip on to chapter 5, verse 14. I'll just start with that. I wasn't going to, but maybe it'll wake somebody up this morning, you know. It says that it will. Verse 14 of chapter 5, therefore He says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See that you walk circumspectly, that means carefully and cautiously, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Well, that's an understatement, that the days are evil. I mean, the Bible knew about it then, predicted today. You know, the days are evil, getting more evil all the time as the time of His return approaches. But it says, redeeming the time. And that's the part I like about it, because most of the body of Christ are not redeeming the time. Some are asleep and dead in religion. They're not redeeming the time. And then those of us that are a little bit awake and we got the Holy Ghost, you know, us charismatics, word of faith, whatever you want to call us, You know, we're not redeeming the time because we're too busy walking about talking about what God used to do. We're too busy walking and talking about that Cadillac that God's going to give us next. Now, I'm not against Cadillacs. Don't go tell anybody, you know. I don't want anybody upset because I talked about their Cadillac. Just so happens I like Lincolns better. I'm sorry. But anyhow, you know, don't go, you know, go about looking for that God to deliver that Lincoln. He says to redeem the time. He says, don't be a fool. Walk cautiously and carefully, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. In other words, take watch of this time that you have here and use it wisely. Use it wisely how? To develop that relationship with Him. And then it goes on and it tells you a little bit more about why. It says, therefore do not be unwise. After He said to redeem the time because the days are evil, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. To redeem the time. So we need to do the things to redeem the time and understand what the will of the Lord is for this corporate body. But He's putting it here on a personal level, which is where it should be put. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. Understand what the will of the Lord is for your life individually, your person. Because, you know, you ain't got forever to run that race and fulfill the call of God upon your life. You need to know as quick as possible what the will of the Lord is for your life, that you can begin to walk it out. Don't spend your entire life trying to find out what that will is. Jesus came to Brother Hagin one time and told him, said, the exact wording, but the basic line was this: most of the preachers go to heaven and without even finding the first part of their call upon their life. Isn't that sad? Scared me when I heard it. Man, I tell you, it must have been the Holy Spirit. He got a hold of me when I heard that. I couldn't get that out away from me. All these preachers going to heaven, not even entering the first phase of their ministry. But He says to redeem the time. He told Brother Hagin, he said, I didn't tell you to pastor. This was after he's doing what he's doing now, walking in the office of a prophet. He said, I called you to that to begin with. You're the one that decided to pastor. Went off and pastored all those years. Didn't take time to find out what the will of the Lord was. Thought he was. Got deceived out of it. Brother Hagin, oh yeah. Yeah, he'll tell you in all of his writings. So I want to find out what the will of the Lord is. I want to find out as quick as possible, because the quicker I find out what the will of the Lord is, at least I can start walking in it and walking that direction. But it doesn't stop there, because it continues right on. You'll always have to commune with God to find out that you're in the perfect will of God, continually walking it out. See, the devil has stopped some of you preachers here. You may not think so, but I can tell you right now, by the Spirit of God, He's put a ceiling on your life. And I'm here to help you shake that ceiling off and get to being a devil-stomping, anointed man of God again, doing more damage than you ever thought about. Because that's the call that He placed upon your life. Hey, stick with me. I'll do everything I can. But He wants us to understand what the will of the Lord is, that we can begin to walk in it. Well, that's great. That's just great. I love to come in here, preach a fiery message like an evangelist, and shake you up and to make you just, man, I've got to have the perfect will of God. Get done with you 45 minutes later, shake you in your pew. I can do that. Shake you in your pew. Get an uprising going in you. I've got to find out the will of God. Glory, I can't. I got to find it out. I've done it. But it's better. It's better not only to shake you out of that place of complacency and get that hunger and that want to on the inside of you going, that you want to find out the perfect will of God, but then the next step is to begin to take the steps necessary to find the will of God for your life, to redeem the time, get the show on the road, begin to walk it out, that you can walk out the perfect will of God in your life. See, it's just not good enough saying, well, glory to God, you need to find the perfect will of God for your life.
Well,
Chuck, you need to redeem the time. Well, it's one thing to say that, but then we got to have the necessary things and to put it into action. And so he goes on. God never leaves us hanging. You know, one thing about God, you know, he's got a commitment to us. He's a sovereign God, all right. This is how he's sovereign. If you do this, he'll do that. If you do that, he'll do this. He's real sovereign. You worship God in spirit and truth, he'll speak back. You worship God in spirit and truth, you'll find the will of God for your life. You commune with God, you'll be an imitator of God. You'll become like God. You do this, he'll do that. You do that, he'll do this. He's real sovereign. Just think about that. So he says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And so, you know, what he's comparing this to is the fact that, you know, and you're going to say, well, how do you know this? Well, you know, my old man told me. Anyhow, you know, whenever you get drunk with wine, you know, your senses are, let's say, desensitized, or they become numb to other things. They become not so important. The drunker you get, the less important the senses become. Like I said, don't ask me how I know. It's just my old man told me. You talking about your dad? No, I'm talking about my old man. Your senses become not in charge any longer. They become numb with the alcohol. So he says here, don't be filled with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God, that your senses no longer lead you around or dictate you, your soul realm, your flesh, no longer lead you around or control your life, but be filled with the Spirit. If you're filled with alcohol, alcohol dictates your life and how you drive down the highway. What turns you take and how you feel the next day. Yeah, David knows all about that. That's where I get all my information. He's also my joke writer. No, David, I won't lay that on you. That's a heavy trip. But whenever you're filled with alcohol, it dictates what you do, how you feel, what direction you take, what the end result is. Amen? Alcohol dictates the end result, does it not? It says, don't be filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And so the rule is the same. What he's saying is the same rule applies here, except that when you're filled with the Spirit, it's those things of the Spirit, those things of God that you're filled with, that dictates your life, that dictates the road you take, that dictates how you drive down that road, that dictates the after effects, that dictates how you feel about your circumstances. To be filled with the Spirit dictates all of that. I would apologize for preaching there a little bit, but it kind of feels good. I haven't been out on the road a while. You guys might have to let me go out. You know? Get this off of me. It says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And he goes on and he tells how to get saturated with, instead of alcohol, how to get saturated with Spirit. With the Spirit. He says, speaking to one another in psalms, and actually in the original it talks about speaking to yourselves in psalms, and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Giving unto yourself, singing of hymns, of psalms, surrendering yourself to singing to yourself and each other in hymns and psalms. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Singing and speaking these psalms, making melody in your heart to the Lord, thanksgiving, thanksgiving for always. Oh, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that Ulysses is born again. See, you didn't think I had Bible-based word behind that, did you? Oh, I give you thanks always, Father. I praise you and I thank you always, Father, that Ulysses is born again. I thank you always, Father. I give you thanks that all of those relatives on the list are born again. Not one person will be lost. Every person will be saved. I thank you, Father. I give you glory for it. I give you thanks always. And singing those psalms, those hymns to yourself and to one another. Be filled with the Spirit. Be saturated with the Spirit of God that you might do the things that God does. Be imitators of God. Stand to your feet. So I would take one of Bruce's tapes and I would put it in a Walkman and I would begin to saturate myself on a daily basis with hymns and psalms, singing to myself, worshiping God, getting saturated. Then I'd come to that point that just in case Bruce's tape broke, or just in case the batteries run down and the charger quit, that I could still lift my hands and worship God and be saturated and filled with the Spirit of God, that I might know fully the will of God for my life, that I might be able to redeem the time with this worship. Take worship and begin to redeem the time by finding out the will of God, that I can begin to walk singly, begin to walk on a personal level in the perfect will of God, and then this church can take times, afternoons, 5 days a week from 12 until 6 with the doors open to come in and to worship God and to pray, and 2 hours Tuesdays and Thursdays, 11 until 1 to join together corporately. You say, well, I can do it better at home. No, you got to understand, you're either a part of this body or you're not. You take that time other times other than that at home by yourself. True, you do that. But you're part of this body. You said, I join up. I agree with the flow of this body. I want to go this direction. Then you can't just pick and choose, folks, and say that you're joining up. That's just like telling God, I'm going to pick and choose. I'll pray, but I'm not going to worship God or fast, and I'm not going to read your word. Well, sure, you old flaky thing. You got to take every part of it, and and so then that's why we set these times aside, 2 hours, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 11 until 1, to begin to worship God. And boy, we've had some worshipful times, and begin to call those things forth and give thanksgiving to God for Ulysses being born again, even when we don't see it. I don't see the slightest in the natural, I don't see the slightest revival happening in Ulysses, but I know this, that what God says is true and God has His way, and I'm going to be an imitator of God. Thank you, Jesus, that Ulysses and every relative and every friend in it is born again. Thank you, Father, that not one person will ever be lost. All will be saved. If you take the time corporately to redeem the time, to find the full will of God for Faith Fellowship Church in Ulysses Camp. Oh, Father, I thank you for that. I thank God for the day for many things. I really do. There's points in my life, signposts that I can thank Him for. One of the times is when I had the revelation how important it was to learn how to be a worshiper of God. Thank God that it was early in my walk with Him, because learning it early enhanced that walk, sped it up a little faster. So I thank Him for that. As much as I like to come in and give thanksgiving and praise and see them dancing in the aisles, even more do I like to see people entering into that place of worship, that they're in communion with God, communing in the Spirit with Him, redeeming the time, finding the perfect will of God. their lives.